Going to read some words from this old antiquated book. Someone tells me something, especially if they tell me to do something, I want to know where they're coming from. What's your authority? So if I read just some words from this book, now I intend to read several. I won't open the pages that I've got in my hand, but I've got them printed out on a piece of paper. I'm going to read just some words from what some people say this old antiquated book. But let me tell you about this old antiquated book. That part that you call the Old Testament. Do you know there's a place in there that talks about the circle of the earth? In other words, long time. Let's see, days, weeks, months, years, decades, century before man decided the world was round, this book proclaimed it. The circle of the earth. Eventually, that was written down in Hebrew and Aramaic. And then it was translated into Greek. I believe that the major translation from that into the Greek was called the Septuagint. And the Septuagint came into existence a long time before scientists discovered the earth is round. Humma, humma, humma. I don't know how long ago it was. It wasn't too awful many times ago, centuries ago, that... found out that, do you know what you're made out of? Do you know what you're made out of? Do you know what will happen to you when you lay down and you die? You know what happens to your body? Goes back to dirt. It's dirt. We're dirt. Scientists have determined that man's body, and of course all animals and so forth and so forth, basically the chemical makeup of your body is dirt. Well, do you know, centuries and centuries and centuries and centuries ago, this old antiquated book declared God made man of the dust of the ground. So that starts me out with what's our authority and where we come from. Can we really believe what it has to say? And then I'm going to read a few verses out of the little book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And I'm going to read about an individual who walked with Jesus, knew Jesus, talked with Jesus, said, in fact, he said he even handled him with his hands. Name is John. Apostle John. Here's what the Apostle John says. That which was from the beginning. In other words, he was there when man was made out of dirt. That which was from the beginning. But John then makes some astonishing statements that which we have heard. We've heard him. I heard him. Heard him myself. I've seen with my eyes, my own eyes, I've seen him, that which was from the beginning. I've seen him. I've looked on him. He says, our hands have handled concerning the word of life. And John sort of camouflages his writing, when he talks about Jesus, in fact, in his gospel, he talks about Jesus as being the Word, and the word is capitalized there, and in some of your translations, the Word. So he's actually talking about individual, and this individual was in the beginning. I've heard him. I've seen him. I've touched him. I know that he is real. The word of life. The life was manifested. Manifested means clearly revealed. It's like putting a picture across the screen. Life was manifested, and we've seen, and we bear witness. We talk about it, declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested, clearly revealed to us. So he goes on and he says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. So you see, when I read these verses out of this not so antiquated book, it's like from a man wrote you a personal letter and said, I saw Jesus. I touched him. I know what I'm talking about from personal experience. And I declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. You can have an unusual relationship with us, John says, with us, because truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. If you heard Jesus was coming to Tallala, would you go see him? Yes, ma'am. We'd go see him, wouldn't we? We'd go see him. Well, of course, I haven't heard Jesus is coming to Tallala, at least in the flesh he's not come, but he comes in the words from somebody who walked down the dusty road, the street, sometimes into the mountains, sometimes through the crowds. He walked with Jesus. Wow, what I wouldn't give for that experience. Well, I guess I give my life. And I can't say that I physically walked with Jesus, felt him like I feel this red-haired girl. But I tell you, there's been some times that Jesus was very real. You know why? Because I believe what this fella John writes here, that I can have fellowship with the Father. God the Father, I can have a relationship with God the Father and His Son, that one that molded each one of us. Did you know God's still creating mankind? He's still creating mankind. He still is, because there's nobody in the world like you. Nobody. Nobody else. She don't have the fingerprints that you have. You've got different fingerprints. In fact, you've got different shape of eyes. Nobody else got shape of eyes like you've got. Nobody else got DNA. And of course, it's been more recent that the scientists have discovered that everybody has their own DNA, whatever DNA. Does anybody know what DNA stands for?
Deoxyribonucleic acid. Deoxyribonucleic acid.
Sure, I know all about that.
I love it.
Yes. Anyway, you're the only one that got that. Like, you got it.
ish.
You don't got it like I got it, and so you can say praise the Lord for that.
Praise the Lord.
But everybody is different.
That's right.
And the fellow that walked with the Word of Life, we call him Jesus Christ. I like to distinguish Jesus Christ from other Jesuses, because especially in the Hispanic world, there's a lot of Jesuses. Jesus, right? Am I right?
Yeah.
I'm glad y'all caught on. This is yes, this is no. These things he said, I write to you that your joy may be full. And it's that word. There's one word in that last that I read with you that I want to dwell on tonight for what may seem like to some of you a long time. It'll seem to me like just a little short time. Joy, your joy may be full. Now that word full is an interesting word. And can you imagine John, the former fisherman, using a word like that, because it literally means like if you cast your net and it's cram full. You understand cram full? Huh? That country term, I guess. Cram full of fish. That's what the full means here. Completely full. But what did he say? He wanted it to be full, crammed full. Your joy. Now what comes to your mind when you think of joy? I think of happiness. I think of satisfaction. I think of the time when it seems like the whole world has caved in on me, but down deep inside, I've got a satisfaction that, friend, you can't take it away. My joy might be full. And John walked with Jesus, touched him. Lester, you think Jesus ever had bad breath?
Probably.
That's silly, isn't it? But, sure, he might have had bad breath. Because, see, Jesus was human. He was human. He suffered all the problems that we suffer. Of course, our sins brought most of his problems on him. Amen? Maybe all of them. Maybe all of them. Anyway, so now that I've preached the introduction to you, and it only took 55 minutes or so, or less, now I'm going to tell you what this joy. There are three things that everybody needs. Three things. Everybody needs. The little girl you talked about was shabby clothes, etc., etc. She needed these three things too. And maybe she needed them more than some other people think they know. There are three things everybody needs. Everybody needs love. Everybody needs love. Everybody needs to be somebody. They need to be recognized as somebody. And finally, everybody needs to be secure. Needs to be secure. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take words out of that little book written by the man who walked with Jesus. I'm going to take words right out of that little book, 1 John. They'll show you that everybody in Jesus Christ, and that's the key now, that's the key, that preposition called in Jesus Christ. Not just close to him, or not just know about him, but in Jesus Christ means that you've made a commitment in Jesus Christ. You can know that you're loved. You can know you're loved. Here's what it says. 1 John 3:1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. What love He has bestowed upon us. What's the first verse that most children that go to church in at all learn? God so love. Come on, say it with me. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I can hear the fellow on the radio now saying, I'm a whoever. But what great love the Father has bestowed, extended to us. And then in 1 John 3:16, he writes this, by this we know love, because He, Jesus, laid down His life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. He laid down His life for us. Why was Jesus on the cross? Take a finger and point at me. And if this finger here, come on. Don't be bashful. I already had supper. You, all right, now you're pointing at me. Turn it right around and point here. Here's who Jesus loved. People, Tallulah Baptist Church, them shouting grounds. You shouldn't be begged or told or helped up or whatever to be say amen at that point. I'm the one He loved. I'm the one He loved. I hear a woman sing on the radio sometimes that says, if I was the only one, He would have still come and died for me. Did you know that? When I love the song that says, when He was on the cross, He had me on His mind. What's your name, honey? He knew what your name was before I asked. Do you know that? He knew what your name was before your mama met your daddy. He knew your name before your grandma met your grandpa. It says that He knew us before He made the world, before the foundation of the world. And so this, are you hearing what I'm saying? Some of you may feel like you're not loved. Some of you may have been disappointed in love. Let me tell you, Jesus loves you. What's that song? Jesus loves me. This I know because the Bible tells me so. I don't even have to know the song. The Bible tells me so because, see, one day I asked Jesus to come in my heart. And since that time, there's been many times He has convinced me that He loves me. How about you? Huh? How about you adults? Do you know Jesus loves you? Jesus loves you? John declares it. In 1 John 4:9, I read, in this is the love of God manifested. You remember what I said manifested meant? Clearly revealed. The love of God is clearly revealed toward us. Where? Toward us. That God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. And in this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation or the mercy seat or the sacrifice place for our sins. Do you believe you're loved? Amen. Say it one more time. Jesus loves me. Say it again. Jesus loves me. Are you convinced yet? Jesus loves me. So you see, the first basic need that everybody needs to be loved. Jesus declared it by giving Himself for us. You know who should die for your sins? Who should die for my sins? Huh? Me? I should die for my sins. Who did die for my sins?
Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus died for my sins. That's love, isn't it? Now, do a cross-reference just because I like to refer to more than one person's opinion. There's that old Apostle Paul, and I'm not spending a lot of time talking about him, but here's what he writes, Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In fact, before I was ever even alive and had actually committed the sin, Jesus Christ died for me. Amen. He died for you. And then again, in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Is there anybody here that was adopted? Anybody here was adopted? Nobody here was adopted? Golly, I don't have an illustration. Were you adopted? Who was adopted? Oh, King David. Mr. David. David was adopted. Stand up, David.
What?
Stand up, please. Please, I said. How many of you knew David's parents? Huh? Did you know David was adopted? How many of you knew David was adopted? Do you know that it wouldn't matter what he did? According to the laws of Oklahoma, his dad could never, ever disinherit him. Never. Now, how many of you have children of your own blood, enjoyments or what? Do you know you can disinherit your own children, but you can't disinherit what am I trying to say? God adopted you. He never disinherited you. He loves you. Then there's another word that caught my attention there, Brother Lester. Abba, Father. That'd be what did you call your daddy? Were you close to your dad? Good, you're a good example then. What did you call your dad?
Daddy.
Daddy. You know what? Abba, Father, it's like calling him Daddy. I was close enough to him, I call him Daddy. When I was growing up, I called my dad Daddy. And then even after I'm grown, I still call him Dad. That's a closeness, isn't it? It's closeness. You can have that with Jesus. You can have that with the Father God. Are you hearing me? That's shouting grounds, folks. That ought to make Pentecostals out of Baptists. That ought to make you half assembly and the other half something.
Baptist-costal.
There you go. All right. Now then, so I named three things that everybody needs. First one, everybody needs to love. And we dwelt on that for a little while. What's the second thing everybody needs? Everybody needs to be somebody. Needs to be somebody. Need to be recognized as somebody. Now, I'm going to read the scriptures first. And then I have a few things to say as we go along. 1 John 3:1 says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. A child of God? Man, that don't get no better than that. That'd be better than being the president's son. Children of God. 1 John 5:19 says, we know that we are of God. And that don't really say it unless you go to the New International Version. It says, we know that we are children of God. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. Used to be in a song a long time ago. I'm a child of the King. A child of the King. I'm a child of the King. Say it. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of God. I'm somebody. I may never, do you recognize the term hill of beans? Never amount to a hill of beans. I may never be somebody as far as man knows on this earth, but I'm somebody because I'm a child of God. I'm in the best family that there is. I'm adopted into that family. In the Gospel of John, in 1st chapter, 12th verse, John writes there, but as many as received him, and I have to stop and ask you the question, have you received Jesus? Have you received him? As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those that believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, or the will of man, but born of God. Born of God. Jesus was talking to one that... He was a pretty important man in his day among some folk. His name was Nicodemus, and he was extremely religious, but he heard about Jesus, and he heard some of the things about Jesus, and he was a little bit afraid to commit to him to start with, so he came to him at night one night, and he made complimentary remarks to Jesus. Jesus ended up telling Nicodemus, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, you got to be born of the water and born of the Spirit. Now, ladies, how many of you have had children? You've actually had children. Okay. All right. When a child is ready to be born, what's one of the first things that happens? Water breaks. Boy, give that teacher an A. Water breaks. Is that not born of water? Mm-hmm. Born of water. But Jesus said, you got to have more than that, more than born of water. You got to be born of the Spirit. In other words, you have a choice of yielding your will to a faith in Jesus Christ and let his Spirit come to live with you. Born of the Spirit. It's an experience. It's an act of God. Born of the Spirit. So, I'm somebody. I've been born into the kingdom of God. I'm going to do my cross reference now and see if we can move along here. Believe in miracles too. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God, or if you prefer, children of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom, again we read, we cry out, Abba, Father, Papa, Daddy. We can have a close relationship to that one that created everything, that made us have our own DNA. The one that still creates today. And he created you, young man, to be unique. Nobody else like you. You can call him Father. You can have a close every day relationship with him. Isn't that magnificent? I am somebody. Say it. I am somebody. I am somebody. Because God chose me. God chose me. God chose me. You can mock me. You can laugh at me. You can spit on me. You can do whatever you want to. What difference does it make what you do to me? The Father chose me to be his. Okay. I've got a couple of more, three there. I think I'm going to skip them and go on to the third point. If you can catch up with me, Paul, God bless you. The third thing we talked about, everybody needs what? Everybody needs to be secure. Everybody needs to be secure. Say that. Everybody needs to be secure. Don't we? We need some security. I mean, if you don't think you need security, why don't you get up out of your chair and sit down out here? You got some security there, haven't you, brother? Yeah, you trusted that chair, didn't you? Bob trusted more than some of the rest of us. Trust that. Secure. Security. But I'm talking about, of course, not sitting in a chair. I'm talking about life. Life secure. I need security. 1 John 1, chapter 1, verse 2. The life was clearly revealed. We have seen, bear witness, declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to me. In chapter 5, verse 10. He who believes in the Son of God. Is that you? He who believes in the Son of God. Let me illustrate believe. Believe is the same base same word as the word faith in the Greek, but we don't have a verb faith. You could translate he who faiths Jesus and be accurate to your Greek. He who faiths Jesus. So faith. Now I believe that the chair will hold me up. Let me get everybody involved. If you feel like it physically, stand up now. Stand up. Come on, stand up. Now look down at that you were sitting on. Do you believe that'll hold you up? Yep. So you believe, right? Of course, you believe by experience. But you ever sit down in a chair and you weren't sure it would hold you up? Oh, yeah. So how many of you believe that chair is going to hold you up? Huh? If you really believe that chair is going to hold you up, sit down in it. That's exactly. If I believe Jesus Christ died for my sins and can save me from my sins, then I sit down in Jesus. I don't depend on how good I can be after that, or how good I was before it, or what family I was born into, or what family I wasn't born into, or what neighborhood I grew up in, or what neighborhood I wish I'd grown up. Doesn't matter. It's you say you believe in Jesus. Let's see action with your faith. Because you see, faith in English don't call for action. It's not an action word. But believe is. So faith has to be action on your part. I have faith, Jesus Christ. He who believes in the Son of God has witness in himself. He who does not believe, God has made him a liar because he did not believe the testimony that God has given of his Son. Here's the testimony God has given us, eternal life. This life is where? In his Son. Let me ask you again. God has given us eternal life. This life is where? In his Son. Let me ask you one more time because I want you to remember this. God has given us eternal life. This life is where? In his Son. Nowhere else. Not the Baptist church. Not the Catholic church. Not any other church. It's in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now you support the church and you serve in the church because Christ chose the church to be his bride. So who does the church belong to? Church belongs to Jesus. Don't belong to you. Belongs to Jesus. Belongs to Jesus.
Amen.
Belongs to Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Says he who has a son has life. Who does not have the Son of God does not have life. There's no way to misunderstand that, friend. You either have the Son of God or you don't. If you have the Son of God, you have life. What kind of life? Eternal life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have eternal life.
Right.
You've got eternal death.
Right.
No two ways about it. Clear and plain. Then John writes, these things I have written to you. Now, who's John? Who's John? It's important we remember that. John's the one that said, I saw the Word. I looked at him. I touched him. I felt him. I heard him. I'm an eyewitness. My witness stand up in anybody's court, anywhere in any land. I write these things unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know. Say that. That you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Cross-reference in Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into his grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Let me skip forward then to 1 Peter 2:4, if you can, bless your heart, Paul. 1 Peter 2:4, coming to him as a living stone, rejected, he was rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Three things everybody needs. Can you remember? Say them with me. To be loved. To be somebody. To be secure. See, it's not up to you. Keep yourself saved. It's up to God. It's up to God. Keep you saved. And that, like we studied the other night, that don't mean you can just go off and live any way that you absolutely want to. If you really have believed and you've committed, you've sat down in Jesus, you can't go doing those things and get by with it. You can't do it. Thought one time I'd get by and telling my mom a lie. I think sometimes good mamas are like God. She knew I was lying. I said, how do you know I was lying? Your eyes gave you away. So I thinks, I just won't look at her when I lie. You know what? She knew I was lying anyhow. God knows. God knows. And he loves you. So say this with me one more time. God loves me. I'm somebody. I'm going to add a little to that. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And I'm secure. I can depend on him every day of my life. I can depend on him in my death. I can depend on him beyond my death. Because he's told me I get to walk the gold streak with him and live in my own special room that he made for me. If that ain't true, we're the stupidest people in Tallulah tonight. Yeah, we are. So we're either the smart ones because we gave this night over to our Lord Jesus Christ to see what he'd say to us and do for us and do in us. Oh, we missed it all together. Well, you know why I'm here, don't you? Sometimes acting silly. But that's the nature of the beast. You understand? But I'm here to declare to you, Jesus Christ is Lord. Whether you recognize it or not. Jesus Christ is Lord. He loves me. He made me somebody. And he's got me in his hand to hold tight.